You are welcome to our service on this first Sunday after Trinity. We follow the order of morning prayer, beginning with the opening greeting on page 101. The Lord be with you. Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against his name, thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate thought, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. O Lord, open our lips. O God, make speed to save us. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. On page 118, the traditional form of the Canticle Venite, verses 1 to 7.
Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord.
On page 640, The psalm appointed for this morning is number 42, the 42nd psalm on page 640.
As the deer longs for the water brooks, so longs my soul for you.
The Old Testament reading is from the book Deuteronomy, chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Moses convened all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel,
the statutes and ordinances that I am addressing to you today. You shall learn them and observe them diligently. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. Not with our ancestors did the Lord make this covenant, but with us, who are all of us here alive today. The Lord spoke to you face to face at the mountain, out of the fire. At that time I was standing between the Lord and you to declare to you the words of the Lord, for you were afraid because of the fire and did not go up to the mountain of the Lord. And he said, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord shall not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. For 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Honor your father and mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, so that your days may be long, and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, neither shall you steal, neither shall you bear false witness against your neighbor, neither shall you covet your neighbor's wife, neither shall you desire your neighbor's house or field, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. These words the Lord spoke still with a loud voice to your whole assembly on the mountain, out of the fire, the cloud, and the thick darkness, and he added no more. He wrote them on 2 stone tablets and gave them to me. On page 130, the canticle, Herbs Fortitudinis.
Thank you.
The New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. He looked round at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. Jesus departed with his disciples to the lake, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him. Hearing all that he was doing, they came to him in great numbers from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, beyond the Jordan, and the region around Tyre and Sidon. He told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, so that they would not crush him. For he had cured many, so that all who had diseases pressed upon him to touch him. Whenever the unclean spirit saw him, they fell down before him and shouted, "You are the Son of God." And he sternly ordered them not to make him known. On page 131, the canticle, Glory and Honor. Page 112, we affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God.
I believe in God.
The Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Show us your mercy, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
O Lord, save the King.
And grant us your love and wisdom.
Let your ministers be clothed with righteousness.
And let your servants shout for joy.
O Lord, save your people. Give peace in our time, O Lord.
Let your glory be over all the earth.
O God, make clean our hearts within us.
And renew us by your Holy Spirit.
God, the strength of all who put their trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers, and because through the weakness of our mortal nature, we can do no good thing without you, grant us the help of your grace, that in the keeping of your commandments, we may please you, both in will and deed, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we join in the first and second collects at morning prayer. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things guide us to know and do your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you to pray for ourselves and our world, knowing that you see our hearts and know our needs. We therefore bring our prayers to you with confidence. Father God, we come before you with our concerns, our burdens, and our thanksgiving for all your people throughout the world. Help us to put our trust in you and in our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us that you love us as a parent and want only what is right for us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we thank you for our church here in Annahilt and its people. We thank you for all the gifts you have given us through its life. And we ask you to open wide our hearts that we may welcome the stranger and share our faith with others. Open wide our minds that we may receive new truth and understand your will. That as we have come into worship, so we may go out with you to the service of the world. Lord, in your mercy. Father God, as the holiday season is about to begin, at the end of this month, we pray for all who will come to Northern Ireland on holiday. May they enjoy their time here and the time spent with family and friends. May their visit bring not only pleasure, but also restoration and healing. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, we bring before you those in need of comfort and reassurance, all those in pain and mental suffering. We pray for those who are struggling in any way, and we especially bring before you those in this parish, and in particular, Val Cunningham. Be with them all, and may they feel your love and care in their times of need. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, have mercy on those who have recently been bereaved. We pray for those grieving the loss of loved ones, and may those who have gone before us rest in your eternal peace. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we ask you to lead us into the coming week. Help us to believe that you are close by us. Keep us from making mistakes and help us never to disappoint you. When we face hard decisions or difficult work, when we enjoy ourselves and have fun with others, may we know that you share these times with us. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we join in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Hymn 325, Be Still, for the Presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. I understand that it was a standing joke in the
English city of York that if you wanted to catch a member of York Minster congregation after the Sunday service and they weren't at coffee, then you'd be sure to find them in the food hall of Marks and Spencer. Unlike the world in which many, if not all of us, grew up, Sunday is now in many ways just like any other day of the week. So it would be an enormous shock to the system to visit the Isle of Lewis, because there Sunday is utterly unlike any other day of the week in this 21st century. The shops are shut. Petrol stations, apart from one, are shut. Public houses are shut. And the sports centre and playing fields are closed. Lewis is one of the last surviving bastions of Sabbath observance in the United Kingdom. It is a culture which visitors often find difficult to engage with. The notion of Sabbath rest is embedded in the first of the two creation stories in the book Genesis. On the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. And then it becomes enshrined in law through the Ten Commandments, as we heard in today's first reading. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. The problem with anything being demanded by law is that there is always a danger that it will be interpreted legalistically. In other words, a law designed to benefit human beings can become an end in itself, so that observance of the law eventually becomes more important than the principle which the law set out to enshrine. Somehow, along the way, the spirit of the law is lost, and we are left with only the letter. The Bible is clear that Sabbath rest is a gift. The prophet Isaiah writes, "If you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord." The key word there is delight. This is about joy and well-being. The Sabbath is seen as a gift from God. It is, after all, the holy day of the Lord, a day for stepping aside from our own affairs and focusing on the worship of God. By the time of Jesus, so many regulations had been added to the law about Sabbath observance that it had become burdensome and complicated. Jesus was clear that his task was not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, to embody it, and give it meaning. But sometimes that meant stripping back the additions of centuries to discover the principles underneath. Why did this law say this or that? What was it really getting at? Jesus found himself in serious conflict with the local gatekeepers of traditional religion, because he saw observance of the Sabbath not as an absolute, but as a means to an end. In today's New Testament reading, Jesus' disciples are criticized for plucking heads of grain and eating them on the Sabbath. And Jesus encounters a man with a withered hand whom he heals. But the Pharisees cannot cope that Jesus had acted outside the box. He has healed, but in doing so he has broken the law, and are not those who break God's law accursed. Jesus gets to the point. Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save your life or to kill? But they were silent. It seems that Jesus, in focusing on how the law was to be fulfilled, had a more elastic approach to the Sabbath than the religious leaders of his day. The Sabbath was primarily a gift designed as a means to well-being, to delight and joy. The man whom Jesus had healed had experienced wholeness and well-being, delight and joy in bucket loads. And so by healing the man, Jesus is able to point back to the original purpose of the Sabbath. Now, of course, Christians do not keep the Jewish Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, Saturday. But we keep the first day of the week, Sunday. Any Sunday service, particularly a Holy Communion service, is a gathering of the Lord's people around the Lord's table on the Lord's day, the day of his resurrection. As the Gospel according to St. Mark reminds us, very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome went to the tomb. They saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. Every Sunday, therefore, is a mini Easter day. When we gather for worship on a Sunday, we're not celebrating God's Sabbath rest on the seventh day of creation, so much as God's gift of new life through Jesus' resurrection. The day of resurrection is the first day of the new creation. If you like, the down payment on what is still to come, God's new heaven and new earth. For Christians, there aren't really 7 days of creation, but 8, with the 8th being the first of the new creation. That's why so many baptismal fonts. Ours is a circular one, but often they are sided like the original one. That's why so many baptismal fonts have 8 sides, because baptism is the sacrament of our being born anew into the risen life of Christ. It's why over time so many buildings and artifacts have been designed with 8 sides. From baptistries in early Christian Rome, to the octagonal lectern tower at Ely Cathedral, to Christopher Wren's Tom Tower, to John Wesley's 8-sided dining table. And so Sunday, the day of the new creation, is less about rest and more about life. In healing the man with the withered hand, Jesus gave him a new start in life, set free from the affliction which had limited him. He had got his life back and would now be able to live fully within his community. And as with all gifts of new life, there was a foretaste of God's gift of eternal life. Sometimes Jesus' healings extended to people who had already died. The son of the widow of Nain, for instance, or Lazarus were brought back to life, not given a resurrection life, but a new earthly life nonetheless. The time would come when they would die. All Jesus' healing points in a lifeward direction, celebrating Sunday, not so much about rest, but about life. But the principle of Sabbath rest is still important, as over the centuries the Christian churches developed its celebration of the times and seasons of the years, as well as remembering the resurrection on Sunday. There grew an understanding of the significance of other days, particularly Friday and Saturday. Friday is kept as a day on which to remember Jesus' death on the cross. Each Friday is, if you like, a paler reflection of Good Friday when we contemplate the enormity of Christ's sacrifice. Some churches with a tradition of daily services, like cathedrals, express that by having no organ music at Friday evensong. And if every Friday is a little Good Friday, then every Saturday is a little Holy Saturday. It's no coincidence that, as Genesis tells us, that God rested the seventh day, so the Gospels have Jesus resting in the tomb on that same day, the day between the cross and the resurrection. That was Jesus' Sabbath rest. Jesus had to rest before he rose, and that's important for us too, as we put an understanding of Sabbath rest alongside our celebration of resurrection life. We need God's gift of Sabbath rest if we are to experience the well-being, the joy, and delight of resurrection. On the Isle of Lewis, where there is much about Sabbatarian culture, which is extremely positive, a day without work, without necessary activity, does us all good, whether or not islanders happen to be people of faith. There is still a sense that Sunday is recreational, a time for family and friends, for walks, for recharging the batteries. That can only be good. The tendency across all professions to work every hour that God sends has done us no favors. And electronic communication, rather than easing the burden, has only made us capable of doing more work more quickly. We have yet to see the long-term effects of this on the generation currently in its middle years. The observance of Sabbath rest, for whatever reason, cuts across this tide of frenetic activity, makes us stop and take stock. What matters is that we recognize the spirit in which Sabbath rest is given to us. That is a gift, and that it is the springboard to celebrating resurrection rather than seeing the Sabbath of a day of do's and don'ts. That way, as Jesus was at pains to point out, lies the trap of rule-keeping, a way of negativity, and which flies totally in the face of a positive gospel that is life-enhancing. O Lord Jesus Christ, who came that we know life in all its fullness, We ask him to give us grace so to use well the time that has been given to us, that we may embrace and ever hold fast his gift of everlasting life, to God's honor and glory. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember to show kindness and to give what you have to others, for such are the sacrifices of which God approves. This Sunday and next Sunday, in common with churches throughout the Church of Ireland, we will be responding to an appeal by our House of Bishops to offer resources and support to all those affected by the dreadful situation in Gaza. You may put your contribution on the plate, and the loose collection will go towards our special collection, or you may put it in the Bishop's Appeal envelope provided. And I do ask, as do the House of Bishops, to give as generously as you possibly can, either today or next Sunday. The collection hymn 549, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind, forgive our foolish ways.
services today continue with a service evening prayer at 3:30, which will be attended by members of Laker Curry, LOL 164, although all are welcome. The preacher this afternoon will be the Reverend Canon Dr. Stanley Gamble, the rector of Clinchy and Kilgore. Service next Sunday, St. Peter's Day, Parish Communion at 10 o'clock. The recessional hymn, 82, Summer Suns Are Blowing.
Lord be with you. Let us bless the Lord.